From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Christian Liberality. The text is Psalm 41 and verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. To think about the poor and let them lie on our hearts is a Christian man's duty. For Jesus put them with us and near us when he said, "The poor ye have always with you." Many give their money to the poor in a hurry, without thought, and many more give nothing at all. This precious promise belongs to those who consider the poor, look into their case, devise plans for their benefit, and considerately carry them out. We can do more by care than by cash, and most with two together. To those who consider the poor, the Lord promises His own consideration in times of distress. He will bring us out of trouble if we help others when they are in trouble. We shall receive very singular providential help if the Lord sees that we try to provide for others. We shall have a time of trouble, however generous we may be. But if we are charitable, we may put in a claim for peculiar deliverance, and the Lord will not deny His own word and bond. Miserly curmudgeons may help themselves, but considerate and generous believers, the Lord will help. As you have done unto others, so will the Lord do unto you. Empty your pockets.
Death of mercy, can there be? Chief of sinners stand.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fourth message in an intensive study of the book of Romans. Paul referred to the gospel he preached as the gospel of God. For many years, there have been those who have taught that Paul's gospel was unique to him, that it had little or no relation to the rest of the scriptures, particularly to the Old Testament. Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. First, he emphasized the character of the Old Testament, which Paul called the Holy Writings. As Paul was to write to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel of Christ through the various covenants, the prophecies, the types, and the historical events. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message. One Bible, one gospel.
Wherever Paul went, remember, the only text of Scripture he could ever take to preach Christ were from the Old Testament. We read in Acts chapter 13, at verse 32, "We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Turn over to Acts 17. And there you will find in verse 2 that the apostle, verses 2 and 3, Paul, as his manner was. Now notice that. This is not a flash in the pan. It's not a one-off thing. This is the usual. This is Paul's standard behavior. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He went through the Old Testament and he showed them Jesus Christ. Now that means that anybody who's preaching the Old Testament to you and he's not showing you Jesus Christ is not preaching the Old Testament as the apostles preached it and as the Old Testament is meant to be preached. Isn't that clear? Preaching Jesus Christ, but he was showing the necessity of the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And he was showing the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the message of the Old Testament. And wherever Paul went, this is how he preached. We turn over in Acts chapter 20 to Acts to chapter 26 and verse 22. Here Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And he's giving his testimony. Wonderful thing to be able to do, isn't it? Standing on trial for his life, and he can give his testimony. And he's saying here, "Having therefore," verse 22, "obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great." Now watch this carefully. "Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Paul is saying every detail of my message is firmly rooted in the testimony of the Old Testament Scriptures. In the last chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 33, we read of Paul where he's in Rome, now a prisoner, and he's gathered the leaders of the Jewish community in Rome about him. "When they had appointed him a day, there came unto him many to his lodging." Now listen carefully. "To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." So I'm not the longest-winded preacher that's ever been. You see what he's doing? And I think, you know, that Paul was very conscious of the fact that in doing all this, he was in the best of company. Because he was simply doing what the Savior himself had done. When the Lord Jesus Christ met the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, immediately after his resurrection, though they didn't know that he was risen from the dead, what did he say to them? Luke chapter 24, verse 25. "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You ever think there are times in history you'd like to be able to visit? If there was such a thing as a time machine, if you could transport yourself back to be a fly on the wall, really witness and look and listen, where would you choose to be? Well, there are many places I would love to go, but that one would be very near the top of the list. To hear the Lord Jesus open the scriptures, begin at Moses, go all the way through the Old Testament, and show them himself. That's the connection that Christ established between old and new. Later on, he did the same thing in the upper room, verse 44, when the disciples were met together. He said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The three divisions of the Old Testament are given there. That's actually a technical description of the Old Testament scriptures, the Tanakh, the law, the prophets, the sacred writings, or the Psalms. Jesus says, you take your whole Old Testament, and the things which are written there concerning me must be fulfilled. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's the very missionary program of Paul in the early church. That's the gospel of Paul in the early church. And Paul preached it everywhere he went, saying to the people, see the promise, now see the fulfillment. And he says, this is my way of preaching. But when we look, we find it is actually a replica of the Savior's way of preaching. That connection, by the way, between the Old and the New Testament obviously recognizes the authority of the Old Testament. The apostles, even the Lord Jesus, when they came, there's a whole lot could be said if this were a lecture in theology, which it's not, so I'm not going to get into it, but when they came announcing new revelation, they didn't just come saying, here's new revelation, just drop prepackaged out of heaven, there it is. Oh, they did bring new revelation. But, you see, this is one of the marks of divine revelation. And by the way, this is one of the reasons you know that the so-called revelations that come from the delusional charismatic movement are not revelations of God at all. Every new element of divine revelation is intimately and organically linked to the revelation that goes before it. So that divine revelation is always a controlling influence on everything that comes after it, pretending or professing to come from God. When the Lord Jesus came along, what did he do? He appealed to the scriptures. And that appeal means, look at your Old Testament. He said to the Jews, search the scriptures. And if you find that the scriptures of the Old Testament deny and defy what I am saying, then what I am saying is not divine revelation. That's his argument. The Lord Jesus Christ never sought to establish anything apart from the authority of the written word of God. The Apostle Paul was exactly the same when he went preaching. He knew he was inspired of God to preach this. He knew that what he was writing was Scripture. What's more, the apostles knew that what he was writing was Scripture. Peter refers to the writings of Paul as Scripture on the same level as the Old Testament being the writings of God. But yet, how did he establish it? By referring to the Old Testament. You see, I want you to understand this very, very clearly. That anything that comes to the Church of Jesus Christ pretending to be divine revelation that can't be established from the written Word of God. And I emphasize written, because the Old Testament prophets spoke before they wrote. But Paul's appeal is not to what they spoke, it's to what they wrote. The testimony is established in the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Writings. Anything that appears before us as divine revelation that's not firmly rooted in the written Word of God is a satanic lie, a counterfeit, and a bogus. You just contrast that standard with the vaporings of the Church of Rome, her popes and her councils, who pretend to be able to come and without Scripture establish as a burden upon the conscience, and especially to make it essential to salvation, a whole history and host of follies and inventions and innovations that have absolutely no basis in the written Word of God. It's the authority of the Old Testament. But do you see the identity of the message? Paul is saying, get this, my message is identical with the message of Moses. My message is the same message as the message of Isaiah. My message is the message that God promised in the Old Testament, and now he has fulfilled it. Charles Hodge put it beautifully when he said, the gospel which Paul was sent to preach was the same system of grace and truth which from the beginning had been predicted and partially unfolded in the writings of the Old Testament. Here's the connection. Promise and fulfillment. That leads me to the final point. And that's the consummation of the Old Testament in the New. The promises of the Old Testament about the gospel are fulfilled in the New. In other words, the New Testament is the completion of the Old. Look at Luke chapter 4, for example. When the Lord Jesus was commencing his ministry, very early in it, we haven't got this far in our Sunday morning studies in the life of Christ, but we will get there fairly soon. He came to Nazareth. He went into the synagogue, and he read from Isaiah chapter 61. Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture completed, fulfilled right before you. You take the Gospel of Matthew, the next time you're reading through it, just take a colored pencil and underline or mark in the margin in some way to take your attention every reference to that it might be fulfilled. The whole of the Gospel of Matthew, this is constantly referred to by the evangelist,
is that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, that it might be fulfilled what was written, that this might be fulfilled, the other might be fulfilled, and the message gets loud and clear after you've read one reference after another, that every single step that the Savior took all the way to the cross and the tomb and then the glory of the resurrection was in order to fulfill the Old Testament scripture.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.